There are a lot of great Christmas specials this time of year. And I would love for you right now to have a little competition in the chat on Facebook Live. Go ahead and put in your favorite Christmas special of the year. It can be a 30-minute, 60-minute Hallmark movie, full-length feature film, whatever it is. Put that in the comments section and we'll see who wins. And the one who wins a brand new card table. I don't know what you win. The admiration of your peers, that's what you're going to win. But go ahead and put that in there on the side. What this time of year, what do you like to see? One of my favorite by far is A Christmas Story, right? You'll shoot your eye out and it's just a wonderful, for those of us who are a little bit older, and I'm not quite into that age, but it reminds me of my time period growing up. This brings back great memories. As a kid, by far, my favorite was How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Cindy Lou Who. You know, it's just such a wonderful, touching movie. But as of late, as a family, no question, the one that has taken our heart is good old Buddy the Elf, or just Elf. This is a great Christmas special to watch. And if you remember in this particular movie, if you've had a chance to see it, the sleigh has a meter on it. And the meter is on the dashboard there, and you can see it's right in the middle. It's what makes the sleigh fly, and it's actually called the clausometer, and it's the Christmas spirit or Christmas cheer, right? And it's at an all-time low, and so the sleigh will not fly. Now, obviously, there's some, you know, obviously there's a lot of things going on here that are not of the way things really are. But at the same time, there's something here about this idea of Christmas cheer or Christmas spirit. And now, where does that even come from? That's what I want to look at this morning as we dive into our series. We're doing a series on some of the Christmas carols. Today we'll get to O Come All Ye Faithful. We'll get to that at the end today. And I want to get there by looking at a very, very famous passage. You hear it all the time at Christmas time from Luke chapter 2. Now, why do you always hear from Luke chapter 2, including the Charlie Brown thing or Christmas, right? You hear from Luke chapter 2. Well, here's why. If you look at other places in the Bible, here's what they have about the birth of Jesus. There's what Mark has. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Didn't have the data. Let me click that. No, that is the data. That's all that Mark has about the actual birth of Jesus. Well, the Gospel of John. He must have been reading from Mark because he got nothing about the birth of Jesus. When you get to Matthew, you get a few things. The rest of the New Testament has nothing. But when you get to Matthew, you got a few things. And the things that are read are unique just to Matthew. Okay, so there's a few things that are shared with Luke. But there's a few things. There's five things here that we see that are just unique to Matthew. But when we get to the Gospel of Luke, you get all of this. And it's all unique to the Gospel of Luke. And one of the reasons for that is because scholars believe that it's quite possible that Luke himself interviewed Mary. And if he didn't interview Mary, he interviewed someone who knew Mary very, very well. I'll show you that very clearly here when we look at this passage in a bit. There's no way that you could write what you write without having an interview or someone who knew Mary very closely to have this. So Luke has all the goods here when it comes to Christmas. That's why it's quoted. Let me read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. Oh, I'm sorry. This is why Luke is so good. It's from Malachi. And this is the end of the Old Testament. The Old Testament ends with Malachi chapter 4, and it tells you about some day that's coming. It says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. In other words, there's something coming. It's not here yet. It's coming. And when that comes, you will have excitement and joy, and you're going to, you know, I've never seen a calf released from the stall, but I assume they're happy and they're bouncing around. That's what's going to take place. It's like the morning is here. The Son of Righteousness is rising, and this dawn is going to happen, and you're going to see it, and that's what Luke 2 brings in. So here's what happens. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken out of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll see a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, if you're watching this on our Facebook live stream this morning and not later, you'll notice that this is a passage that the kids read during their program. So awesome. This is the premier passage on the birth of Jesus. So let's just take a little bit of time this morning to just savor it. This week, we have the privilege of the way the week falls, that this is Sunday, and 5 days from now, we're going to get to celebrate Christmas. So we have 5 days to kind of ramp up to it. And I just want to go through this and just let you savor this a little bit. So let's kind of walk through this. Let's take a look here. The background was, simply put, that there was a ruler, Caesar Augustus, and he was going to take a census. And this census means that everyone had to go to their hometown, back where they were from, to register. And that meant, starting in verse 4 here, that Joseph took his betrothed wife, Mary, with them, and he went to his hometown, back to Bethlehem, where he was he because he belonged there, right? And so if you just look at this journey that they're going to go on, they had to go all the way through, you're going to see this, from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem, all right? And you're saying, well, why, what's so special about Bethlehem? Why do they go to Bethlehem? Well, this fulfills a prophecy in the Old Testament where they're going down to Bethlehem from Nazareth from Micah chapter 5. What says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So it was prophesied that the Messiah, the King of Kings, was going to be out of Bethlehem. R.T. France, in his commentary, says about this journey, he says, "Even if Joseph and Mary had a donkey," and Luke does not say that they did so, "this was a long and hazardous journey." I showed you that map, how far they had to go, "for a heavily pregnant young woman. Since the two were not yet married, it's surprising that Mary came too, rather than giving birth among her family in Nazareth. She was very close. Instead, she came. But it was symbolically important for the child to be born in the place where the Messiah was expected to be born." So not only would they say, well, the earthly father, even though he's not really the father, is from Bethlehem, and Mary stayed back in Nazareth, they went anyway, and they made this journey. Now, he makes this big deal about this being out of the line of David. And if you're familiar with your Bible, This is also really, really important according to the Old Testament. You can see it in two very important passages. 2 Samuel, it's listed in other places as well, but 2 Samuel 7 says, the Lord declares to you, this is to David, that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And then if you look at just one of the most famous passages that we hear at Christmas time, especially Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So Messiah not only has to come from Bethlehem, Messiah needs to be out of the physical descendants of David to carry on this kingship. And he's going to be the forever king. He is the forever king even now. And then we come to the birth of Jesus. It says that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. So I've had the privilege of witnessing this three times. That's enough. And it is quite a deal. And you definitely know when the time is coming. It's, yes, when your wife is pulling your hair, that's when it's time. And she now has come to the point where she's going to give birth. And she has him. And she has them, and you don't see it in Luke, but you see it in Matthew, that there's no room for them in the inn, and so they have to go to this barn. That old phrase that my old man used to say to me, what are you, born in a barn? Jesus was born in a barn. The answer is yes. He was born in a barn, and he was laid in a food trough, a watering trough, a manger. That's where he was laid. There was no crib. He just gets laid in that. There's this beautiful quote that I love to look at this time of year from Kent Hughes, and it says this: the one who asked Job, in the book of Job, the one who asked Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. So when God is speaking to Job, he's talking to him, even though Job's complaining to him, and God is saying, I am so majestic and awesome, Job. Where were you when I made everything? And that's the one. Now that one is laying wrapped in swaddling cloths in a barn in a food trough. That's awesome. Meditate on that this week. How awesome our God is to come like that. So, what do you do after you have a baby and there's no doctor, there's no nurses? Well, you call the first responders, right? Who are the first responders? Well, in this case, they're not who you think they were. They were a group of shepherds, right? Group of shepherds are there. And the ones that go and make the call to them are not Mary and Joseph, but the angels. And the angels cannot keep their mouth shut about this. They've been waiting a while, you know what I'm saying? And they go, and what they do what they always do to people, freak them out, right? And then they all say the same thing. Don't be afraid. Okay? This doesn't happen very often. We don't see a few angels. We don't know how many, but here at the beginning, an angel of the Lord. But then they say to them, we are bringing you good news. And the good news is this: a Savior has been born to you, Messiah, the Lord, and you're going to find him lying in this manger. And then the angels can't control themselves. It then says, this great company appears. So just kind of figure, just if you can, it's nighttime, and there you just see the whole sky light up with these angelic beings. And they can't take it. They just say, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And they're just, whatever they can think of, they just want to scream, right? They're just praising God. It's this awesome moment. And I think of just, you know, great sporting moments where you have 50, 60,000 people screaming in a stadium. And this is, I don't know how many angels, but it's like that. It's the ultimate skull chant, right? It's the ultimate skull chant. pretend the Vikings are good. Then that would make even more sense. And what's the response of the angels? Let's go. Let's go to this thing. Let's go to Bethlehem and let's check it out. And now I want you to look to see what happens here. They hurried off. Now, remember, there's no words in Scripture that are wasted. It's very important. So they're telling the story. It just doesn't say, oh, they meandered their way, whatever. They hurried off. You know what it is? Like, you just drop everything else because now something more important than anything else has just happened. And they hurry off and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby, and there he is. He's lying in the manger. Now, what do? The very thing you do when you hear awesome things. You tell others. They start telling everybody else. And all these people are amazed at what happens. And now look at Mary's reaction. This is a verse that has just blessed me for years and years. And I try to think of it every time we start our Christmas season. It says, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, no, there is no purpose to this in the story, right? Other than to let you know what's going on with Mary. As Luke is sharing this story, he wants you to see something here, what's going on in this mother's heart, this one who just gave birth to the one who created all things, including her. She just gave birth. So as Christ always existed as the Son of God, he takes on human flesh at that time and he comes to earth. Now, I said I'd get back to this. There's no way that Luke knows this or any human knows this. You can't just look at someone and say, oh, they're really treasuring up all these things and pondering them in their heart. You know, maybe they just have indigestion. Right? You don't know what they're doing. Someone, possibly Mary, told Luke this, and this was one of the most significant things for her. Either that, or she told someone else who told Luke. Luke had to have insider information to know this. And as Mary was telling Luke or telling someone else about this moment, she reflects as the mother of God here. She reflects that at that moment, one of the greatest things for me was as all this was happening, I just treasured it. And I just pondered them all in my heart. That's one of the best things she thinks about. And you know what? That's one of the best things for us to think about. Think about that. Think about the gift that Christmas is. And get away from the trappings. Get away from the way it's become very familiar and the commercialization of it. Think about the fact that Almighty God, the God who made you, the God who made everything, the God who's in control of all, saw the situation we were in. Galatians 4 tells us when the time was right, God sent his son, born of a woman. The time was right and he comes. He comes for us. And he comes as a baby. And he's going to live a sinless life his whole life. No one else has done that. And then at the end of it, he's going to give himself up to be the sacrifice for sin, which we have on our lives. So he becomes our Savior. And this is all in the mind of God. This is all in the mind of Christ as they go about this. And this whole incredible love machine that is now going to take effect starting on that first Christmas morning is again happening for us. Every year when we get to do this, we get to be like the shepherds here in the last verse. The shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Every year we get the opportunity to treasure and ponder. So hopefully, By the time we ramp up to our big celebration here on day on Christmas Day, our clausometer, it's way over there, right? It is really going because we are filled with the joy and the excitement and the wonder like a little child at what God actually thinks of us. Wherever you're at today, wherever you're at today, and you're wondering what God thinks about you, I want you just to close your eyes and think of God the Son coming in a manger for you. And that screams to you, I love you. I deeply love you. Treasure and ponder that. And as you do, then you look at the text of the song, O Come All Ye Faithful, and you rejoice. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So I have an encouragement for you and a challenge for you. With all that this week will bring, this and all that this year has brought, will you ponder and treasure Jesus this Christmas? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every single person who has the opportunity to hear this, that you give them a gift. And the gift is that they would be reminded of what they've heard and seen. God, that we would be once again blown away by this beautiful act that you've done for us and how you came and in an amazing love letter, you came and you signed it and you came to earth. And ultimately that plays itself out with your life, your teaching, your healings, and then your death, which is a finisher of our concern about our own judgment day. When we place our trust in you, you become not just the world's savior, but you become our savior. And then, Lord, by your triumphal raise from the dead, where you declared victory over everything, you've demonstrated your love for us in this, that Christ died for us, that you came, that you died, that you rose again. God, I pray for the gift for Hope Community Church and every single person listening to this week. Oh God, that we would treasure and ponder. And we, like Mary, would go and say, yeah, that year of that pandemic, boy, I treasured and pondered. And that's the thing that I remember. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas, Hope Community Church.